Have you ever felt in over your head and you needed someone to help you out? Maybe when you get into the middle of a conversation with someone and you realise you really don't know much about this topic and you're in over your head. This is kind of how I feel every time I have a conversation about Harry Potter with people, particularly on a Friday night. Our youth here seem to know everything about Harry Potter. Yes, you in particular, James. Yes. See, I end up getting in conversations and just making the wrong kind of comments, and all of a sudden I've said the wrong thing, and I can either do one of two things. I can try and bluff my way out of it, or just say I know nothing and admit I need help. I'm not sure I need help to know more about Harry Potter, though. Maybe you're driving along in the car with your wife, and you try and bluff your way out of the fact that you have no idea where you are. Or maybe you admit that you need some help. Maybe at work you try and bluff yourself out of the fact that you have no idea what you should be doing. You don't know why you're there, and for some reason they're paying you. Or you can say, what do you want me to do? I need some help. In about 3 weeks' time, 17 days' time, we're about to have our third child. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be over my head, and I need all of your help every day. Just one of you come around. You think I'm joking? No, I'm not. What about when it comes to the Christian life? Do we just bluff and think that everything's going to be okay, or do we ask for help? You know, when we're seriously being tempted, when there's evil and sin in front of us, do we think, I'll be fine, it's going to be okay? Or do we call on God to protect us? We've been going through the Lord's Prayer. The first couple of weeks of the Lord's Prayer, it helped reorient us to see that it is God who is in control and he deserves all praise. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've seen that it is God who provides and God who forgives. And now we come to God asking for protection. And Jesus is going to challenge us what we do when we are in over our head with life, with temptations, with sin, and the dangers of evil. So as we look at this, why don't I start with prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word tonight and look at your law, at your prayer for us, give us open ears and open hearts. Change us to make us more willing to call on you for help and protection, Lord. Amen. From Matthew chapter 6, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this first part of the line, lead us not into temptation, seems a little bit strange. To some, it can sound like God could lead us into sin, so why should I ask him not to? Why would God lead us into sin and temptation? So why do I have to ask him not to do that? In James's letter, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. So if God doesn't tempt us to sin, why does this part of the Lord's Prayer say, lead us not into temptation, as if God would teach us to sin? Let me translate that word temptation for you into another perfectly acceptable word. Lead us not into trials. Lead us not into tests. In James's letter, when he's talking about temptations, he's talking about the fact that God doesn't lead us to sin, but God does test us. God does test us. He puts us through trials, not so that we would sin, but so that we can show our faith and dependence on the God who provides for us. The first reading that Jenny read, Matthew 4, makes this clear. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. God led Jesus into the desert to be tempted, and Jesus passed the test. Think of it with God like a good teacher. If you have any teachers, imagine one of those was really good. So imagine God is like a good teacher, And he sets exams to help his students realize what they do know and what they don't know. So God leads us to tests and trials so that we can know. So that we can know what we need to know and what we don't know. From 1 Peter 1, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor." God will put us through our paces. He will test us. He will test our use of money to see if we are fit to be given more money. He will test how we share the gospel to see if we are to be given more opportunities to share the gospel. He will test our dependence on him to see if we can share and shoulder the burdens of others. Difficult tests compel us to appreciate how much we need God and drive us to him in faith. This prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," acknowledges that God will test us, but testing sucks. Not many people enjoy grueling exams. Is anybody here who just can't wait to get into the next exam? Okay, I've got one masochist over here. Not many of us enjoy really hard trials and difficult days. Much like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the ultimate test of his obedience and trust in God, the cross, he cried out to God, "Lead me not into this temptation. God, if this cup can pass, please let it. I don't want to be tested in this way." Jesus asked for it because he knew how painful the trial and test of the cross was going to be. It's not wrong to be tested by God, but it is also not wrong to ask God, "Please don't test me. It is hard. It hurts." But we have another good reason to ask God to lead us not into temptation. Not only does it hurt, but we are sinful. When God tests me, when God tests us, we're likely to fail. I'm likely to fail, and I don't want to fail God. When God tests me, it's going to be hard. It could be through physical pain, sickness, financial difficulty, loss of a loved one. When we pray this prayer, we're saying, "Lord, please no more hard days. Please don't test me. I don't want to risk damaging myself. I just don't want to dishonor you by failing. I am weak and I need your protection. Lead me onto paths where I won't be tempted by my heart, by Satan." Paul gives some good advice for us in 1 Corinthians. "Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest we fall." If we don't think we're going to be tempted, be aware that we will. But the flip side of this is that temptation and trials do come. And they are good for us. We need them. Much like a soldier in the army only learns military discipline when under fire and not in the training room. Much like the batsman in cricket who only learns what true character is out on the pitch and not in the nets or in the backyard. Being the sinful people that we are, we need to heed the danger that is in front of us and beg God that he would provide a path around the danger and that he would give us the strength to stand firm when we are faced by it. So that's the first idea, the first part of protection that God gives to us. Lead us not into temptation. And the second is similar, deliver us from evil. If you didn't know, the Christian life is full of danger. It can almost sound a little bit sexy. I'm a Christian, My life is dangerous. My favorite book is banned in many countries. In some countries, I might be killed. All of these things are true. There is danger for Christians. And this part of the Lord's Prayer shows us to call on God's help from danger. But it's not just danger from outside people. It's danger from our own hearts, and it's danger from Satan. Jesus said, "What comes out of a man's heart, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." The first evil that we need to call on God to be that we need to be delivered from is our own hearts, our own sinful desires. We don't need Satan or the world to tempt us to sin. We are perfectly good at doing it ourselves. This prayer teaches us to call on God to deliver us from evil, this evil that twists and deceives us. Hebrews 3, the second reading that Joanne read for us earlier. "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Our hearts are good at justifying whatever they want. I ducked into Woolies the other day to grab some meat for a barbecue, and I had Isaac along with me, my 5-year-old son, and he kept saying, "Dad, can you buy me a toy?" And I'm very thankful that Woolies and Coles have toy sections in their aisles. "Dad, I need a toy. Dad, I need a toy. Can you buy me a toy?" And I'm thinking, your birthday was only 3 weeks ago. You do not need a new toy. But his selfish desire, my selfish desire, hardens my heart to turn away from the living God and pursue what I think I need. Whether it's sexual gratification, whether there's more things, whether it's a perverted mind, gossip or envy. The sin that is within us tries to turn our hearts away from God and to deceive us. Now, for too long, I've been deceived by my own sin and my own heart. I was a regular downloader of movies and TV shows. I deceived myself into thinking that theft wasn't really that bad. Plenty of other people did it. And that people who make movies, well, yeah, they're getting their money from someone else and I don't need to pay. But God has been working on my heart for a long time. And I just can't justify it anymore. So now if I want to watch something, I either pay for it or I wait for it to come on TV. Who watches TV these days? Or I don't watch it. It's actually that simple. Do we realize the magnitude of danger that our desires get us into? If our hearts were another person, imagine the worst place that our hearts can get to when we're on our own in a darkened room, left alone with our own thoughts. Imagine there was another person standing there, urging you to steal and fornicate and envy and murder. We would not want to have anything to do with that person. But when it is in the quietness of our own heart, we are too often deceived. Jesus tells us to pray for protection from evil, from our own twisted hearts. God, deliver me from me. And there is another very real danger, Satan, the name which literally means adversary. He is God's enemy and the enemy of God's people. You only have to look at the impact of Satan on the man called Legion, the man that had 1,000 demons inside him that Jesus cast out into the pigs who ran down off the cliff. Legion was antisocial. He was living outside the village amongst the dead. He was violent. He was beyond control. He was distressed. He was self-harming. He was crying out day and night with no rest. These are the effects of sin amplified by demonic possession. But Jesus brought protection and delivered him from Satan. The man was restored, dressed, able to come back into society. He was in his right mind, able to think straight. He was calmly at peace with both God and man. When we pray, deliver us from evil, we are asking God to continue to protect us from Satan, from the activity of Satan in our lives. Satan is very real. He can't control any aspect of the life of those who follow the Lord. We belong to God. But Satan can make us question our faith and make us doubt God. This is just like Satan's questions of Jesus in the temptation that was read for us before. Satan has no power other than the power of suggestion. Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Put your physical needs above depending on God. If you are the Son of God, jump off this building and God will catch you." Satan says, "Why don't you worship me and I will give you what you want?" When Jesus is confronted by danger from the evil one, he calls on God's help and God's word, speaking God's word back to Satan. Satan can fan the flames of our doubts. Do I have to believe what God says in the Bible, especially if I don't like it? Is God really even there? Does he even care what I do? When we are under attack, overwhelmed by Satan or sin, we can't just bluff our way out, thinking that everything is fine, I can beat Satan myself, I can control myself. We need protection from Satan's sly deception. And Jesus calls us and models a life of dependence on God's word. Today, as we've dwelt on this line from the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil," we've seen a picture of God who willingly protects his little children. There is temptation and trials that come for us, and they are good to develop our faith, but we shouldn't run to them. Instead, we should ask God to lead a path around those dangers. Dangers are outside and they are inside, our hearts and our enemy Satan. Call on God to protect us. This picture of God's protection really does remind me of a father protecting his child. Let me share with you two stories. I've been teaching Isaac to ride the bike recently. We had to buy him a new bike because his old bike, he was riding it and his knees were about to hit his chin. So I bought him a new bike and he's been going great. But there are times when he gets frustrated because it's hard. Don't throw in the towel, son. I'm right here next to you. Persist with this. You can get up this hill even though it is difficult. No, I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to save you from this trial, but I'm going to stand right next to you. There might be some temporary pain as he comes off and grazes a knee, but I'm there with him. God is so much better at guiding us through trials than any parent. When we are tested and tempted, God is right there with us. He says to us, "My son died so you could have faith. I have given you grace so that you can persist in difficult times." And when the trial is too great, he will protect us. God is also our great protector. A day or two after Tamara was born, she's now 2.5, so it's just over 2 years ago, I was sleeping at home because I couldn't sleep at the hospital, and I get a call from Alyssa, probably about 4:30 in the morning, saying she'd had a really hard night. Can you come in and take Tam so Alyssa could get some sleep? sure, not a problem. I'll go in. Isaac was being cared for. So I get into the hospital. I go up to catch the elevator up to the maternity ward, and I push the button to unlock the door. Button doesn't unlock the door. That's fine. That's fine. I'll call the nurse, and then I can get in and take care of my little girl. Get onto the nurse. They say, sorry, it's not visiting hours. You can't come in. And have you ever heard that expression, you felt your blood boil? You ever heard that expression? I'd never experienced it until this point. How dare you get in the way of me and my tiny little girl? I am her protector. I am not a visitor. I am a father. I actually start to get agitated as I tell this story. I'd actually never wanted to punch a nurse before. I'm not going to tell you if it was a male or a female nurse. So eventually, Alyssa got out of bed, pushed Tamara out to me, and I took Tamara down to the cafe, had a wonderful breakfast, coffee, read some C.S. Lewis. Alyssa got some sleep and everyone was fine. I calmed down. But that really got the protective part of me as a dad working hard. But God is a far better protector than any parent. When we are faced with the danger of our hearts or the adversary Satan, he willingly jumps in the way, sending his son to die on the cross to defeat the power of sin and of Satan. Don't try and bluff your way out of difficult times and out of danger. We have a stronger foe and we have a heart that will deceive us. Will you call on God to protect you from danger? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a Father who loves us, who protects us and who leads us. Heavenly Father, help us not to deceive ourselves and think that we can cope on our own. Help us cry out to you for help. Please answer us. Father, when we are tempted by our hearts and attacked by Satan, Lord, we ask that you would deliver us so that we can glorify your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.